Well, I would appreciate your prayers very much this morning. What I have this morning is not what I thought I would have. Started studying and seeking the Lord, and feel like this is the direction that He took me. I've written on the board the word heritage. And this is probably going to be a 2 or 3 part series. Don't have time to cover nearly all the aspects of what I have to say in one setting. The word heritage, according to Webster, it is something transmitted by or acquired from a predecessor. Passing down a trait or skills is a heritage. You see that in families a lot. My family's in carpentry. My cousins, the X, are in farming and mechanics. And there are things that when you're in a family and you've had a trade that's been passed down to you, sometimes you know things that you don't even realize you know. I heard somebody from the Eck family talking and saying, you know, I don't even know anything about mechanics. I didn't follow that line. I took up this line of work, and I don't know anything about it. But then when I started, I hung around this person quite a bit, and they would mention this and that about maybe their car or maybe some equipment that they owned or something they were needing to work on. And it didn't take me long to figure out that they knew way more than I did about mechanics, because they just grew up just having things around, understanding that I didn't grow up with. I didn't grow up with a wrench in my hand. I grew up with a nail gun and a hammer in my hand. And then there are things that I have. I was working on some cabinets over in Missouri one time, and we were using kind of a makeshift facility. It was for the Monarch Dining Hall there. We set up shop in the tabernacle. And started making cabinets, and I went and I got a load of plywood and I got a load of hardwood, and I did what we generally do, and started turning that pile of plywood and hardwood into some cabinetry. Brother Mike Adams walked in there after I had been in there 2 or 3 days. We had some helpers, and we were really going to town in there getting stuff done. And he came in there and he just shook his head and said, "Looks like black magic." And I said, "Brother Mike, this man is such a respected mechanic that anything he does looks like black magic to me. He can do things with engines and with transmissions and things that I can't even touch. I have no knowledge of it, and yet there's just different fields." And I walked in Uncle Randy's office there the other day, and what he was doing looked like black magic to me. And all of the different setups and the machines and the processes and the chemicals that he had, and the way that he would color he makes teeth. He makes false teeth. So the way he would color them and the way that he would use the impressions to make an exact fit for that tooth, looked like something. It just blew my mind. I can't even imagine sitting down and doing that. He could leave me in his dental office for a solid month and say, I need you to make one tooth, and I couldn't do it. I wouldn't know how. I thought about classical music. See, there are things that people know how to do that, and then they can pass it on to other people. I know Uncle Randy had his daughter Erin working for him. And she worked, right? Didn't she work for him for a while? And I've had my children helping me in woodworking. And so we grow up when you're in a trade or a business or something. You learn things that you don't even realize that you know. You think, well, this is just common or it's not worth anything. But it not only do a lot of other people not know it, but it gets you a real head start in that area that you don't know you've got. It gives you a jump where you can do things and you're way farther, and somebody else might have to go to technical college or whatever for years to learn what you grew up with in that area. And so it's the same thing. I know the Forbes have got the school and all of the academic stuff and all of that. I would get lost. I'd get lost in all that. Wouldn't know what to do. And so I thought about music. I love classical music. Classical music is very interesting to me because if you look at some of the other composers, I don't want to bore you all because I know everybody probably doesn't love classical music. But some of the earlier composers, I'll just name a few names like Vivaldi and Bach. Some of those earlier guys, they wrote some beautiful music. Handel is one of my favorite composers. And he's known in the music community as somebody who could produce grand effects with simple means. He could take a limited orchestra and he could turn it into the most stupendous sounds that you ever heard. It was incredible what he could do. And I'm not the one that came up with that expression, grand effects with simple means, but I can see it. Anytime I listen to some of his music, he could do something that was ahead of pretty much everyone else in that way, of his peers. But you know, the music that was written of that time period was a lot simpler and a lot more, it developed as time went on. The music that was written in the earlier 1700s, which is when Bach and Vivaldi and Handel flourished, was not nearly as complicated or rich. The devices and the techniques that were used in the music, it doesn't even compare with the stuff that was written later. And it just got more and more advanced as time went on. If you listen to something by Wagner or some of the guys in that time, Tchaikovsky, if you listen to some of those composers and their music, the music is so much more advanced than it was when Handel and Bach were alive. But so I look at Handel and I say, I'm going to move on from this. But the thought I want to get to is, I look at Handel and I say, you know, what would have Handel is one of my all-time favorite composers. He produced some of the most beautiful music. But I think, you know, what a pity that Handel didn't live 150 years later. Because all of those composers built on each other's knowledge. The music gradually got more and more advanced. And so by the mid-1800s, probably about my favorite time period, and then after that it went into Impressionism, which produced music I don't care for at all. But there in the mid-1800s, they wrote some music that I think, wow, Handel was so good. But if he would have lived 150 years later, it's not like he would have had more talent, but he would have had more to work with. He would have come into the world hearing music that was far more advanced than what he did grow up listening to, and then consequently would have been able to produce music that was a lot more advanced than he did. Does that make sense? Y'all follow me? All right. That's called heritage. Heritage is when you were given a head start in some area. It's when you've got something that was given to you from someone else that's gone before you. That's what heritage is. So let's go to 1 Chronicles 22. I think I read this a few months ago here, but that's all right. We'll read it again. 1 Chronicles 22. David, he was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. Scripture calls him that. Also calls him a man after God's own heart. And he wanted to build a house for the Lord. And so, in the 7th verse, 2 Chronicles 22 and 7, David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days." I didn't look up the meaning of the word Solomon. If you have it, you're welcome to give it to me. I wish I would have done that, but it evidently has something to do with this promise that the Lord gave to David. "I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." So the Lord told Solomon, "I wanted to build a house." I mean, David told Solomon, "I wanted to build a house for the Lord." You know, the Lord was not criticizing him or scolding him because he had been a man of war. He needed to be a man of war for the things that he did. Israel was in such a state where there needed to be some enemies wiped out. There needed to be some things done. But it wasn't time to build the house that the Lord wanted to build. David did the job that the Lord gave him right then. But there was a limit to what he could do for the Lord to accomplish things in his kingdom. And so the Lord told David, You've done this and this, and so I don't want you to be the one to build the house. But you're going to have a son. He's not going to have these things attached to him like you've had. And they're not sinful things, but they're things that I don't want my name. I don't want it to be at the same place. I want to move on. I want Solomon to build my house, because he's going to be a man of rest, and that's the kind of man I want to build this for me. And so David recognized that what he started, his son would carry on. And so he did everything that he could. What would have happened if David would have pouted and said, "Well, I don't want, I'm a man after God's own heart. If I can't do it, nobody can. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to help. I'm not going to get the materials. I'm going to do everything I can to try to frustrate this purpose, because it's not fair. It's not fair that Solomon, that my son, should do more than I've done. I've served the Lord with all my heart, and this is not fair what the Lord's doing." No, David got on board with it. He recognized that all he was doing in life was passing something on. He was furthering a work. He wanted it to increase, to keep going. And so he did everything he could. Look at what he did. It said, Now behold, in the 14th verse, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver. Now he was busy if he had all this prepared. And of brass and iron without weight, there's so much of it, I don't know how much there is, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance. Hewers, workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. David gave Solomon a heritage. Solomon didn't have to start at ground zero to build that temple. David did everything that he could do in the capacity that he had, and he fulfilled his mission. His mission was not to build the temple. His mission was to prepare someone else to build the temple. And then Solomon took over and he built the temple. You think that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Israel stopped with Solomon? Well, it actually got broken up right after the days of Solomon. But the Lord had something else in mind. You know, the Lord wants His kingdom and His work to keep growing and increasing. He doesn't want it to just fizzle out. He doesn't want it to stay where it's at. He wants it to ever grow and increase and increase. Remember the dream that He gave to Nebuchadnezzar of the statue and all the different kingdoms that were made of different materials? And then He said there was a stone that was cut out without hands, and that stone came and it smashed all the earthly kingdoms. It was the kingdom of God. It was the Lord's church that He was going to set up. And that it's what He set up when Jesus was crucified on the cross. That stone began to expand and grow. And it said it grew until it filled the whole earth. And it grew and it grew. You know, you and I are part of that. We're part of that growing and that increasing and that propagating. The Lord wants us to be right there on board with the knowledge of, you know, this is not my work. It doesn't stop with me. It didn't start with me either. And all I'm going to do is be a channel for the increase that God wants to give with the little bit that I've got to give. May the Lord multiply it and lead others to do more than I've ever been able to do. May that be our prayer today. Let's go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127 in the first verse, Song of Degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Now, I just want to make a remark here that I found out recently that this verse means something a little different than I thought it did. He doesn't call His sleep beloved like it's something to be treasured, although sleep is valuable. The way that, according to my best understanding, the way that the meaning here is, for so He giveth sleep to His beloved. Those He loves, those that are His, He's the one that gives the increase. He's the one that gives the rest. He's the one that makes it work, that makes it happen. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Well, what are we doing? We're building a house for the Lord. We're trying to build with the Lord's help. We have been commissioned to be the builders of the Lord's house in the world today. The gospel is the answer to every single problem that people can face in life. We don't have it in the sense that it belongs to us and we're the ones that came up with it, but we have been commissioned to share it, to spread it. I feel sometimes like I'm doing a horrible job of doing that. But I think the Lord wants to teach us how to do better and better with it. Now, I want to continue here in the third verse. Listen to what this says. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And according to my best understanding, the meaning of this last verse is they will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. To be ashamed means to be confounded or put to shame, fall before the enemies. You know, this is where my burden is really at this morning. We all have a sphere of influence. You know how hard it is to add 5 people to a congregation? You got to work pretty hard. The Lord's the one that gives the increase. But I'd like it if it were easier than it is. The Lord gave me 5 children. And this scripture says that they're a heritage of the Lord. They're not, that word heritage there, it doesn't mean that they're something I should just hoard to myself and say, well, look here. Look what these children can do for me. Look how they can profit me. No. The children are going, they are going to be channeled. They are to be channeled in the way that will be an enormous increase from any small thing I've been able to do. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. My burden today, and I don't want to speak, I feel like the Lord's given me a few thoughts, and I don't want to speak as someone that's had a lot of experience here, because my oldest child is not that old. I don't have a bunch of fully grown children to say, well, my children all did well, and so therefore I'm qualified to teach you about these things. I don't propose to speak from as much of an experiential perspective as I do from a scriptural one. I feel like that the Lord wants us to have faith and look at the promises and look at the designs in His scripture and say, Lord, what is it that You want me to do? How do You want me to be with what You've given me? What is Your design? Every soul that comes into the world, every child that comes into the world is a soul that is going to live eternally. Every single one. Every person that you see walking around is a soul that lives eternally. It almost say, I heard of a man that said, well, if that's the way it is, and if I can bring children into the world that have the potential to spend eternity in hell, then I'm not going to have any children. And he didn't. I think maybe he had already had some, maybe. But he said, I'm not going to have any more. Well, the Lord doesn't want us to do it that way. Necessarily, there are some people that are not called to be parents, but there are plenty of people who are, and the Lord puts His sanction upon bringing children into the world and increase. It's one of the best and the most productive or the quickest, best, easiest ways, I think, of adding to the church is to bring children into the world and raise them up. In the same way, you know, what we're doing is we're giving them a heritage. We give them a heritage. It's the heritage that we have, that we were taught by our parents, hopefully, maybe not everyone, but the heritage that we were taught If not from them, from the Lord for sure. And yeah, it all comes from the Lord. But it's a heritage. There's a limited amount to what I can do. I can't do everything that I have a vision for. I'd like to do so much more than I'm able to do. I'm limited. But the things that if I lay the foundation to a building, and that's all I'm able to do, I want the ones coming after me to be able to frame it up. I want them to add to what I've done. I want them to go farther. This is what this is talking about. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. It's something, we need to have a vision. Those that are under us, and it's not just our children. Manasseh had a son that was an awful, awful king, and he was only king for 2 years. And I have to think that it had a whole lot to do with children make their own choices, but Manasseh was not a good example to his children. And his son Ammon was an awful man, terrible king, only lasted 2 years on the throne. And then Ammon had a son that was 6 years old when Ammon became king, and was 8 years old when Ammon died. And that child was Josiah, and he became one of the most influential kings. And there was so much said about him and what he did and how he followed the Lord with all his heart. I have to think that there was a lot of that came from the influence of his grandpa, Manasseh, who was also a very wicked king, but in his last days, he completely renounced idolatry. He went to prison for a while. And while he was in prison, he prayed a prayer of repentance. And he came back and he got rid of the idols and he got rid of all of the wickedness in the land. And that was what his grandson saw. So we have, I'm not just talking about parents here. It could be your grandchildren. It could be your neighbors. It could be the neighbor children. It could be the school children. The ones, whatever you've got in your world, you've got some influence there. But it says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. What do you do with arrows? You shoot them. They hit targets. They penetrate armor. They do things that you can't do. I can see, maybe I've got an enemy, there's an enemy over there, and I got a sword, but I can't hit the enemy with the sword. The enemy's 500 feet away. What am I going to do? I'm going to shoot an arrow. The Lord wants us, this is the vision that the Lord, He wants us to get a vision that we've got people coming on after us that are going to do more than we've ever been able to do. They have the potential to. And if you've got, say, I want my children to do more than I've ever been able to do. I want them to go farther. I want them to know the Lord I believe each one of us can know the Lord in a very personal way. But I want my children to accomplish more for the Lord than I've been able to do. I want them to build, hopefully, they can build on a foundation that I've left. When I go off the scene, I want them to be able to use that as a stepping stone and get a head start and do something with it that I couldn't do because I didn't start there. I want them to be able to contribute to an increase in the knowledge of God in this area, in this community, or wherever they go. All right? We need a vision. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man. You know, arrows, my children have some, they've got a bow and some arrows. And most of the arrows they have are blunt. And you can shoot them into a bale of hay or through a piece of cardboard. But they don't do a lot. I don't think that's what this is talking about. The arrows are sharp. They're meant to pierce. They're meant to accomplish. They're meant to have lots of momentum and force behind them. They're meant to be shot at a high velocity. May the Lord help us to have a vision that extends beyond what I've been able to do. and what I can do and what I might do in the future. May the Lord help us to say, Lord, how do I fit in your picture? What can I do to propel the next generation so that they can take what I have given them and it be their heritage, and they can do more because of it than I've ever been able to do? May they be able to do things because of what I've given them and not in spite of what I've given them. Children have their own choices to make. They do. But the Lord wants us to get a vision. He wants us to input into their lives and help them to make the right decisions. Help them. I'd like to turn to Judges 2 and 7. Read about the power of influence here. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. This is a remarkable passage to me. And I believe I've read it here before, and the Lord gave me some thoughts on this, and gave them a few months ago somewhere else, but I feel like the Lord wants me to bring it here. Remarkable scripture. It says the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Okay? But it wasn't just all the days of Joshua. It was all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So there was something that he was able, and I don't want to just give Joshua all the credit, but there was, it seems like that there's a factor here that Joshua was able. What did Joshua do? What's notable about Joshua in the scriptures? Was it how skilled he was? Or what a great orator he was? Or how strong he was? No. He said something that is, you can find it on kitchen walls. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He made the statement, I'm going to follow the Lord. And he wasn't a perfect man, I doubt. I know he couldn't have been. But he served the Lord with all of his heart. The scripture says that he and Caleb wholly or completely followed the Lord. And he was able to pass that fervency on to all the ones that were around him. So it wasn't just him, but Israel served the Lord in the days of all the elders that outlived Joshua. Somehow he was able to communicate. And again, people make their own choices. If one of those elders would have defected and would have said, I don't want to serve the Lord anymore, I don't think that it would have been a slam on Joshua. But somehow he was able to communicate the influence to them, where all those elders, they served the Lord, and Israel served the Lord during the days of all those elders. Now, the design of the Lord was for it to keep going. And do you think the Lord designed for the next generation to go into idolatry? No. He wanted there to be an increase. He wanted Israel to be more, to be stronger, to be more prosperous, for his name to be promoted in the earth in a greater way, generation to generation. And he wanted each generation to build off of the last. That's how it was in the Old Testament, and that's how it is in the New Testament. He wants us to be able to leave a heritage. Not just a bunch of nice stuff for the kids to split up after mom and dad are gone. But he wants us to leave some ideas, some convictions, some principles, some influence. Mom and dad did this and they taught me how to find the Lord here. And they stood for this in this tough situation when they could have done something different, took the easy way out. And because I saw the Lord work in mom and dad's life, I know he can work in my life, so I'm going to do that too. You know what that's called? That's called a heritage. That's called something that was passed on to you. The Lord wants us to leave those coming after us a heritage. What kind of heritage are we leaving? So Joshua left a heritage. All the people that lived after him, all of the elders, somehow he left such a mark on them that they were able to influence all of Israel to live for God in all of their days. But something happened, even though they lived for the Lord, somehow they were not able to communicate the same passion to the next generation. And so they wound up in idolatry. Now, I'd like to read a scripture. We won't turn there. I know I'm almost out of time and I'm not even nearly as far as I wanted to go. But, and we won't take the time to read all of this, but all of the stuff I have here. Maybe we'll continue next time. But Proverbs 24 and 3, we won't read it. We won't turn there. We'll just read it. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding is it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I'm not at all interested this morning into just simply filling my house with all... Yeah, we want to have some nice stuff in our houses. But what I want to leave to the people coming after me, I want to leave some things that were built by wisdom. I want my children to look and see, and you know what? I have things... I tell the Lord on a very regular basis, Lord, have mercy on me. Cause my children to catch what I'm trying to pass on to them in spite of my faults, in spite of my shortcomings. Lord, please help my children to follow you in spite of the shortcomings that they see in Dad. I don't want to pass those things. You know what the difference? The Lord has a way of making up for our shortcomings if we will serve Him. I have felt so unqualified. I heard someone, you know, children tend to normalize the way they grow up. The way that they grow up, they feel like it's just normal. This is how life is. This is what normal life is. This is, and so consequently, most of the time, children tend to grow up and they learn things and they learn thought patterns and they learn so fast and so much. My little girl's not even 2 years old and she understands almost everything we say. I don't remember ever giving her a definition to a word and saying, that's what this means. They pick it up by context. And so by the time they're 2 years old, they've learned thousands and thousands of words and how they go together and grammar structure and meaning and all of the little nuances between this word and that word. How do they do that? They learn it by context. They learn it by how the word fits in this sentence. And then the next time they hear the word in another sentence, then their mind subconsciously compares it to how they heard the word in the last sentence. And by that, they can pinpoint with great accuracy what words mean. It's incredible to me. You know, that's not the only thing they do it with. Children learn behavior and what's acceptable. And they learn culture and what's good and what's bad. And we have a lot to do with that. Do you know that if I tell my children, if I tell them, all right, kids, we've got to serve the Lord. We've got to serve the Lord. You know what they're going to do? What they're going to view as normal or as what we're trying to teach them? I can tell them, I can say, son, we've got to be honest in every business deal. We've got to be honest. And then if I have a little problem with honesty and I go and I kind of fudge over here and I do this over here, they're going to pick up on that. If we teach, let's say that if we get onto our children in a certain way, and we're just harsh and unreasonable, and you know the Lord has come back around to me before and said, you are harsh and unreasonable in that, and you better go fix that. You know that if we deal with our children in a way that's harsh and unreasonable, even if we lay out the principles and we say, you've got to do this and this and this, what they're going to learn more than you're supposed to do this and this and this is, it's okay to be harsh and unreasonable. That's normal. I hope this is making sense this morning. This is what the Lord gave me this morning. Do you know we all have blind spots? We all do. We have things that we are not so adept at. We have weaknesses. We have shortcomings. We have things that, and that's why I say, Lord, please, Lord, channel my children somehow. Reach them and get a hold of their hearts in spite of my shortcomings. In spite of my faults, Lord, would you reach my children? You know that I believe, and I believe the scripture bears this out. It is not so much how much we nail down all of the different areas of perfection in our lives, as much as it is, are we following the Lord with all of our hearts? The Lord has a way of somehow making up for our shortcomings and getting through to those that are coming behind us and still passing them on ahead. You know what heritage I'm passing on? Even if I don't get all the details right, and I don't have all, maybe I don't have all the doctrines right, and maybe I don't have all the beliefs right, and maybe I'm totally off in left field over here. But if I'm serving the Lord with all my heart, that's the heritage that I'm going to pass on. Is that Daddy served the Lord with all his heart. And that's what somehow the Lord is going to be able to work with that. Whereas if I serve the Lord half-heartedly or not at all, but I say, you know what? I want my children to learn the right thing, so I'm going to teach this and this and this and this. The heritage that we're going to give them is not going to be one of godliness, even if we've nailed down all of the different rules and the standards and the principles and all of that, as much, and we do that, if our heart is not to serve the Lord 100%, then we are going to teach our children more than anything else, it's okay to not serve the Lord 100%. And those things that we pass on, you know, things get amplified. Our children tend to be amplifiers of our defining characteristics, whatever those things are. But the Lord has a way of making those things work if we will follow Him with all our hearts. Does it guarantee that they're going to turn out like we want them to? No! They have their own choices to make. But we can pass on a heritage to our children, to our neighbors, to our grandchildren, to our nephews and nieces, all of those people, the Lord wants us to do that. Manasseh did. And you know, he didn't have much time to do it in. But he was able to pass on a heritage of the Lord. We should point the way. And I've told my children, and I'm almost done, but our homes, my burden this morning is for our homes. I want our homes to be factories for pillars in God's church. And I've told my children, I don't want to manage your lives your whole life. I want to work myself right out of a job. I don't want to be telling you what to do when you're an adult. I don't want to be managing everything for you. I want you to learn this for yourself. And so, may the Lord help us. As my children get older, I try to take my hands off more and more stuff because, not because I want them to be able to do whatever they want to, because I want them to put their hand to it and to make the right decisions because it's from them. I want them to voluntarily say, I want to make this decision myself. You know, I wrote down a few things. You know, our children should see the ways that we serve God. Not just, hey, you know, you got to do this. Do as I say, not as I do type of thing. They need to hear us pray. They need to see us trust the Lord in tough situations. They need to see us be unselfish. They need to see us be kind. They need to see us give of ourselves to them. It's, you know, there's a fine line there sometimes, and I'm not going to try to get into all of that, but there's been times when I've debated in my mind, all right, they need to get out of this chair because they need to let the adults sit here. Should I do that, or should I let them have it so that they can learn unselfishness, or should I teach them respect and make them get up? That type of thing. There's all kinds of things. Should I? This and that. They need to see us treat our spouses with love and respect and with preference. They need to see us have faith in God. May the Lord help us today. You pray for me. I've got so much more about heritage. But if maybe we'll do this another time. You know, the Lord wants us to leave a heritage for those. And He wants His kingdom to increase. He wants to take the little bit that we can give. Just a little bit. And He wants to multiply. And one of the ways that He's going to multiply what we have to give to the world is through others. You pray for me.